Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. Thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, doesn't matter what part of where you're listening to the broadcast at, it doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So we thank God for another blessed day, and wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we humble ourselves this day before you to acknowledge that without you, we can know nothing. And Lord God, as we go upon this broadcast today and go into the Word of God, we ask that your Spirit would accompany us on this journey. Lord Jesus, we need you more than ever before. We need revelation that comes through the Spirit of the living God. Have mercy upon us, Lord, this day, and teach us your Word, Lord God, that we may be edified in our spirit. Help us, Lord, to spread your word to others who haven't heard, in the name of Jesus, to preach and teach the gospel, unadulterated gospel, the straight, pure, and clean gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for this blessed day, and we thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day. Thank God for what he is doing. I'm still continuing on in the Abomination series. This one's titled today, Extra Oil, Abomination, Hands That Shed Innocent Blood. Hands That Shed Innocent Blood. Glory be to God. And we're going into this today, as I've told you guys in the other series. I want to be led by God's Spirit. I don't want to go too fast. So I just want to move along with the Spirit of God. And having said that, I want to once again open up from one of the messages of the Word of the Lord that Jesus sent through his angelic being, the resurrected John the Baptist. It is referred to as message 12, meaning the 12th time that Jesus sent his angelic being with a message for mankind. And this message was sent out July 18, 1929. And I want to read from one of the scriptures here in this message. Once again, for all of you that are listening, and, you know, you say, hey, I don't know if what you're saying is true. Well, here's the beautiful thing about it. Do you know you can ask the Lord, if you have a true intent in the heart, you can ask the Lord for yourself. Amen. You know, there's something that Jesus provided. You know, for example, you know, back in the Old Testament, when it came to sacrificing, concerning man's sins, sacrificing the blood of bulls and goats that only covered sin. There was a certain part of the tabernacle called the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could go. And when it came to sacrificing, that, you know, the priest only was able to do that, which means that you couldn't do it yourself. When Christ went to the cross, was crucified, and rose, he opened up the door that for any of us, that we can come to him ourselves, that you don't necessarily have to go to a high priest or a priest, or you know, and rely upon them to do it for you, okay? But he opened the door that we personally can come to Jesus ourselves at any time of the hour. And so in this 12th message, the Lord Jesus said, "Behold, the Lord has rejected all creeds and factions of man who have gone away from the word of the Lord and have become an abomination in his sight." Now, I want to stop there. That's not all the verse, but I want to stop there. Now, one of the things we want to notice is how that, glory to God, in the word that Jesus sent, he said that he has rejected all creeds and factions of men. Now, let's stop right there for a minute. What is a creed? A creed is a set of fundamental beliefs. It is a brief, authoritative formula of religious belief. So Jesus said he rejects all fundamental beliefs of man. Okay? He rejects man's authoritative formula of religious beliefs. Why? Because notice he said creeds of man, not of him. And therefore, these beliefs is beliefs that is away or outside of the word of God. Okay? You know, our faith has to be in the word. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 10 that faith coming by hearing the word of God. It didn't say faith coming by hearing the word of Hare Krishna or Elijah Muhammad or Farrakhan or Buddha. It didn't say that, because the God faith, the faith that the Lord talking about that you need to have in him, it comes by the hearing of the word of God. That's why it goes in connection with God's word, okay? And so the Lord said he rejects all creeds, okay? All these beliefs of man, okay? Because you can rest assured that their beliefs is other than the belief in Jesus Christ, okay? And this is why he rejected. He's not going to reject any belief in him. So in order for him to reject man's fundamental beliefs, they have to be beliefs that's not in Christ. Amen. And he said he reject all creeds. Then he said, and factions. Now, what is a faction? A faction is a party or group, like in a government, that is often contentious or self-seeking. In other words, it's a clique, okay? And Jesus said he rejects cliques, okay? Because if you heard the definition I read, they're often contentious and they're often self-seeking. So they're not seeking the glory of God. And you will even notice that whenever men are breaking off from the word of the Lord and, quote, go form their own groups, it fits the bill. They're either contentious or self-seeking, okay? Once again, and I don't want to just keep bringing this person's name up, but he's high profile in this area. Once again, Carlton Pearson. He had breaking off, you know, he broke off from the word of the Lord. And his teachings is contentious and is self-seeking. It's not seeking the true and living God. And so the Lord said he rejects all creeds and factions of men. Because when you get away from the word of the Lord, you're going to, quote, establish yourself. And that's where the of men come in at, the creed and factions of men, okay? These groups, they be of men. They're not of God. God didn't form these groups. I don't care what man say. Because when man wants to get over on somebody, he always got to throw God's name and say, God's in it. You know, so many people are doing stuff and they're saying God's in it. And they're being successful over some people because of those group of people they're being successful over, are people that will not search things out for themselves, okay? And that's why you have some of whoever coming up with some off-the-wall stuff and then say, well, the Lord had me doing this or the Lord gave me this. And they're successful with some people because more or less those people are the ones that doesn't seek the Lord about anything, okay? So because the person that told them such and such seems to be a nice person or a rich person or this and that, they're willing to accept their word, okay? Now, hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, the Lord said in this 12th message that he had rejected all creeds and factions of men who have gone away from the word of the Lord and become an abomination in his sight. So by them becoming abomination, that means there was a change, you know. For example, once again, like water in its liquid form, you put it in the freezer, it becomes ice. There's a change in form. So God said, when men go and go through a change in form, in other words, instead of shaping their lives by the word of the Lord, they're now shaping their lives by these abominable works, therefore becoming an abomination, okay? So their life is formed around or dealing with this work of abomination, okay? And many of them, whenever they do this, they go form their own groups. And this is why the Lord said he rejects factions of men. Okay? Because you got men with certain beliefs, now they have formed their own churches. Okay? And when you ask them, well, that church name is this, why y'all name it this? And when they tell you about certain beliefs that they have, and that's why they named it. Well, see, the Lord said he rejects that. Not Brother Nate. Brother Nate didn't say that. The Lord said he rejects that. Because you're not going to break away from the word of the Lord and name your own organization, having your own type of, quote, fundamental beliefs, and expect God to honor it. And it's sad today that there are some believers who actually expect that from God. They expect the Lord Jesus to support them regardless of them having broken away from his word, going their own way, coming up with their own ideas, and then, quote, establishing a church based on their own ideas. And in the midst of all that, expecting the Lord to support it. Amen. See, that's just like this nation here in America. We have come up with laws that contradicts the word of God. And we have set it up ourselves, and we have basically told God, said, this is what we're going by. Take it or leave it. And like we're expecting God to say, well, I have no choice. Okay, I'll take it. Well, my Lord is showing, on the other hand, that is not so. Okay. Now, thank you, Jesus. The Bible. And the Lord's talking about abominations here, who are going off and becoming an abomination site. The Bible actually breaks down a list of what the Lord calls abomination. Because when you read the word of the Lord here, you might have questions, say, well, going to become an abomination, what is an abomination? Okay? And this is why God said in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so the word of God lets you know from the Bible and breaks it down and listen. Now, I want to read to you one of the scriptures out of the word of the Lord, and it's called the 102nd message, which was the 102nd time that the Lord Jesus sent his angelic being. And I want to read one of the scriptures out of there of what he had the resurrected John the Baptist to tell us, okay? And dealing with this. So it is message 102, 102nd time that Jesus sent his angel, his angelic being. Thank God for that. Amen. April the 5th, 1985. And as I've told you guys many times before who have listened to the broadcasts I've done, I don't mind giving you dates because I want you to ask God. Like I said, in giving this word to you, it's nothing hideous, okay? And ever since, you know, we've been on the broadcast, Lord said, saying this is going to make 5 years, we have always told you to take what you hear from us to the Lord. We have not at any time told you, say, hey, you better accept it because we said it. You ain't got to see God about it. We've never told you that, okay? And plan on never will telling you that, okay? You see God about it, amen? Now, he says in his 102nd message, he says, I speak that all Christendom may flow together and abide by the Bible, revealing great truths, the coming forth of the regular Nephite, the book, and the word of the Lord. Behold, the books, with an S, that will lead all mankind to eternal hope and salvation, deliverance in the Lord. Will lead all mankind, not some mankind, all mankind. Now, notice that in this message, we were never told you don't got to listen to the, you ain't got to believe the Bible anymore. The Bible is one of the witnesses that witness about the plan and the work of the Lord and how God dealt with man. It's one of the witnesses. So we're not told through the angelic being and the word of the Lord to not believe the Bible anymore. See, we got some people out there when they hear us come on the broadcast and talk about God sending an angel, and he's sending the angel with words of instruction for mankind, the first thing many of them think is that, oh, they don't believe the Bible anymore. No, nobody never told you that on this broadcast. Okay? We never said that to you. Yes, we believe the Bible contains the word of God, but we also believe the Bible is one of the witnesses. Okay? It's not the only witness. It's one of the witnesses. Okay? Amen. And you got some people out there who only know the Bible, and they get upset and they say, well, the Bible is the only book of the word of God, and there is nothing there. I said, well, no, your Bible tell you there's other books besides itself. Okay? So, he said, I speak that all Christians may flow together and abide by the Bible revealing great truth. So, in opening up with message 12, that we are told that God has rejected all creeds and factions of men who have gone away from the word of the Lord and have become an abomination in sight. Well, the Bible actually gives us a list of the things what God calls an abomination. Okay? Amen. Okay, so let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs chapter 6. Thank God for the written word. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 16. Amen. I think it's going to be 16 to verse 19. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to verse 19. And the word of God says, these six things, though the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief. A false witness that speak of lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Now, notice that in verse 17, after he says a proud look and a lying tongue, he mentions and head hands that shed innocent blood, okay? Hands that shed innocent blood. And that's what we're looking at tonight. So God calls hands that shed innocent blood an abomination. It is to God, it is an act that is disgusting, that he really hates, okay? Hands that shed innocent blood. To translate that, another word that means dealing with murder, okay? Now, the word murder, when you define it from the Concordance combined with the dictionary. And for those of you who are listening, I mostly deal with what is called the Strong Concordance, okay? When looking up the word murder, okay, and I want to give you some numbers for those of you who want to look it up. The word murder in the from the Old Testament under the Hebrew word, it is number 2026, 7523. Once again, 2026, 7523. In the Greek part of concordance, it is number 5407, 5408. Now, the word murder, when you look at what it means from the concordance and the dictionary combined, you'll find out the word murder means, first of all, to smite with deadly intent. In other words, to kill a human, it means to slay. It means the crime of unlawfully killing a person, especially with malice aforethought. Okay? So, murder that God consider, calls not just a sin but an abomination is where you unlawfully kill someone. Okay? Where you smite them with a deadly intent. Okay? So, some people, you know, some people, when, you know, they just have a simple disagreement with someone, it is not just a simple disagreement. And when they come at them to do physical harm with them, many times, many of them have an intent of killing you. Okay? Amen. You know, for example, take the Ku Klux Klan, okay? When they go to, quote, try to get physical with a black man, for the most part, or a black woman, for the most part, their intent is to kill, because they have listened to lies of Satan and fed one another all these years and telling them that the white race is the superior race to all other races. And you got many of them believe that thing with their whole heart. So when they come at you, they coming at you with intent to smite you with deadly intent to kill you. Amen. And so when the word of God says that, God said his people have gone away from his word and become an abomination in sight. In other words, they become hands that shed innocent blood, or in other words, murderers. Amen. Now, I know that's hard for you, some of you, to wrap your mind around that. You say, oh, no, Brother Nate, you're wrong. Well, remember, he said in the word of the Lord that he rejects creeds and factions of those who have gone away from the word of the Lord and become something. Now, remember, I discussed to you about what it's become dealing with, and it's dealing with there was a change, okay? Amen. See, some of God's people have went through a change, and it ain't good, okay? Amen. You know, some of them you can see that change, that's not good. Their behavior, the way they talk, way they act, okay? I've seen people through the years who have at one time been in the Lord, and when they had went through this particular change that wasn't good, you begin to see things with them, you know, nonchalant attitude, getting smart, you know, and all that. Okay, you begin to see things with them. So, hallelujah. Now, having said that, once again, the word of the Lord does show us that God's people are capable of becoming abominable, or capable of becoming murderers, and that there are murderers among the people of God who claim to be of God. This is what the word of the Lord is showing us. Now, I want to show you that the Bible supports that kind of claim. It supports that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 21. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21. Now, watch this. The word of God said, how is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, or justice, in other words. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Now, once again, now remember, first of all, we first look at this is dealing with literal Israel. Okay. Hallelujah. Where God's people were, Jerusalem. And he said, at one time, and during this time he was speaking this here, people of God were a faithful city, but have become a harlot. You know, joining themselves to anything to get a gain. Or just joining themselves to anything, lusting after whatever and joining yourself to it. They became, got a spirit of a harlot. That's, now, if you take that, remember, I told you much of the word of God has a twofold application, literal and spiritual, okay? So the spiritual side, what this is talking about here, is God's own people of the body, of the church, okay, who was at one time a faithful city, but became something. He said, how is the faithful city become a harlot? That means there was a change. Just like it said in the word of the Lord, those who have gone away from the word of the Lord and become an abomination. There was a change, okay? There was a change of form. One time they were forming or shaping their lives by the word, and then there was a change. Now they're forming or shaping their lives by this abominable acts, okay? Amen. Hallelujah, to where they have become what? Murderers. And he said what? It was full of judgment. There was justice, true justice. Righteousness lodged in it. But now murderers. Glory to God. Oh, glory. Many of God's people used to walk in righteousness, doing righteous acts, okay? Was fair. Justice and judgment was in their border. But also what happened? They became something. And they became something that wasn't good. And he said, how is it the faithful city become a harlot? Amen. See, you can't be a harlot and be faithful. That's not truly being faithful. Okay? In the last series, I was showing you how Satan can influence abomination. Well, one of the things about the devil, he doesn't like any of us being faithful to Jesus Christ, okay? And so he brings all his temptations and stuff and all that enticement to entice you to be a harlot, to join yourself to other things. You know, for example, have you ever, let's say, and this goes to those of you that's married, have you ever came across someone who, let's say, men of God, you listen today. Let's say this same person around you when you call your wife, and they hear you telling your wife that I'm at such and such a place, letting them know where you're at. And as soon as you got off the phone, they start talking to them, oh, you henpecked. Oh, you this and that. And they are some of the same ones, men of God, try to get you to look at other women, you know, try to, and being used by Satan greatly to persuade you to be unfaithful. Okay, and when you listen to that and take that enticement, then you become something. You know, when you listen to that enticement, you fall, but when you don't repent and stay in that thing and shape your life about it, you become something. You know, there many people have shaped their lives by killing other folks. Amen.
You, for example, look at people, let's say, who not saving have done this, okay, shaping their lives by killing folks or by murders. You know, and I heard this some years ago, which I believe is a lot of truth to it. It's just like there were some kids who grew up, maybe became 20 or mid-20, and they committed murders. Sometimes some of them commit a very heinous murder. And one of the things you would hear people that was around that person say about that person they growing up said, oh, he used to love catch cats and just kill them, just like that. And, you know, many times, especially with our children, it start off with stuff like that. You just start developing a murderous spirit where, you know, you start, you know, shaping your lives around killing things, okay? And, amen. And I know a young fella at one time that, and once again, I think he's doing still, he's doing life in prison, and he was sent to prison, and he committed a heinous crime in killing two young folks. I think these two young folks were like teenagers, and he had to be what? I don't know. He might have been 20, 21 himself. I'm like, he was real young himself, but he killed a very gruesome killing, gruesome style, okay? Especially of the two he killed, a young girl and a young boy, he killed. I don't remember the young boy dying, but I believe he was in pretty bad condition what he did to him. I think he killed the girl. But I remember when the talk was about this young fella, and he was on trial and then he got sent to jail. One of the things people had talked about how that when he was growing up, he used to like to kill stuff like cats, catch them and just kill them, you know. And that's why we have to be careful with our children, what we let them do, especially in stuff like that. They catching and, you know, I don't care if you ain't a fan of a dog or cat. Don't let your kids just start grabbing stuff, start killing it, okay? You got to be careful because that can open up the door for the wrong spirit. And if they do that more and more, then on top of that, they say he wasn't growing up, was disciplined, okay? You know, things of that nature. So all that was key in that. Now, so in this Isaiah 1 and 21, dealing with not only the literal Israel, but the spiritual Israel, God's people, because he said a faithful city. And Jesus said, what was that in Matthew 5, that he called his, though his followers, disciples, called the church, he said, call them not only the light of the world, but you a city. He said, a city on a hill cannot be hid. Okay? So, symbolically, that represents dealing with the church. Okay? And so, Isaiah tells us that the church had now become, you know, a place of murderers. And not just physical murderers, understand this, but on the spiritual side, because Jesus said through his word in 1 John, he said that he that hateth his brother is what? A murderer. Okay? So in this part dealing with abominations and murder, it includes hating, okay? Hating your brother, hating people, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the Bible supports that, yes, that there are murderers among God's people. See, a lot of times we're just looking at the unbelievers and sinners and say, oh, we know there's murderers among them. But when you start talking about murderers among those who supposed to be the people of God, you know, you get some eyebrows raising there, but it is true. It's true. Amen. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to read verse 28 and 29. Now, I want you to understand now what he's talking, who he's talking about in these verses. He ain't talking about, quote, them sinners. He's talking about them Christians, those who were formerly Christian, what they're going to end up doing. He said, in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, he said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, okay? Amen. He's talking about those who were once believers, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so they want forget God. According to them, forget God. We don't want to know anything more about God. We don't want to think about God. We don't want to remember God in nothing. Okay? And that's how some of his people got. And just like what it says in the message book, those that have gone away from the word of the Lord have become an abomination. What has happened? They've gotten to a point they don't want to know nothing else more about God. They don't want to remember God. Okay, they don't want to remember his law, his word, none of that. And so he said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobated mind, okay, to do those things which are not convenient, okay, being filled. You see that word, filled. Not just having all unrighteousness. He said, but being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. Get this, murder, okay? Debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, okay? See, that what happens. See, glory to God. See, they didn't want to keep God. That, once again, this is talking about professing, those who have been professing believers, that this is going to happen with, okay? There are going to be some that's going to turn, and what's going to happen is they're going to become an abomination. They're going to be filled with murder in their heart. The spiritual and the literal, okay? Now, like I said, I know some of y'all can't fathom that. You know, you thinking about it, you saying, man, I don't know about all that. You know, I just don't know, Brother Nate. Well, it's true. It's true. Now, if you'll believe, just keep living. And you're going to be shocked by some of the things you hear and see them do, okay? You're going to be shocked about it, okay? Now, I mean, this is not something to make you look under-eyed at everybody you come across. But rest assured, you have to prepare for this thing. You know, some people that fall away from the Lord because they saw someone they highly respected do a bunch of no-nos is that they was not ready or expecting that, you know, something can come up with another person. Not about you sitting there thinking bad or evil, but some things can come about just not of God, okay? And that person can go astray. So here in Romans 1, we're told this is the last days, people. This is what's going to happen in time. This is happening today, okay? Amen. It's happening today. There was a report, and thank you, Jesus. In the report that came out, and it was this year, from New York Daily News, and the report was titled, Pastor Murdered by Wife and Their Sex Partner. Glory to God. In Oklahoma, I think of this year, it was in a city in Oklahoma, the people were shocked when this pastor and his wife, they was at home in the bed, and all of a sudden his wife woke up to a loud noise, and it was shot, and her husband was shot. I think he was shot in the head and killed dead there. And she said she was awakened to the loud shot, you know, blah, 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 and all that. And so she gave that part of the story first. Well, the police, as they kept digging, and I have to say this for the police. I know sometimes they can get aggravated, and they do, and some of them do go overboard, but one thing I give them for, they don't just rest on a one-way story or someone just saying something and they says, oh, well, that's the case. No, they, you know, there are people on the police force call, like what, investigators and homicide detectives. They are people that really investigate, okay? And, you know, I give them credit for not being that person that takes, you know, whatever said at first whim, okay? And this pastor, when he was killing the home and his wife gave that testimony there, when they went to dig deeper, come to find out that, and I'm not trying to be vulgar when I say this, but that the pastor himself and his wife was having intercourse with this man, okay? And come to find out that the wife and that man kept seeing one another, so she actually talked the man into killing her husband, okay? Now, this husband and wife supposed to be, quote, I guess you could say, quote, like what, believers or whatever, you know? Now, some people will hear this story and say, ah, they were never believers. Well, unless you get more information or revelation or above all revelation from God, you can't just fully say that in a sense. Yes, you can question that whether they were, and it's very possible they never were. Maybe they were just claimed it. But on the other side, it's possible that they were believers, but they got off track. They got away from the word of the Lord, okay? And they start shaping their lives by this particular thing. Now, the husband being involved, that helped open the door for a violent spirit to murder him because from the investigative report, he was involved in having intercourse with the man too, okay? And so that opened up the door for, you know, and so his wife, she started liking the man, you know, herself and talked the guy into killing the husband. Okay? Amen. People that's supposed to be claiming the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Then there was another report that came out, and you can look this up online too. It's Pastor's Affair Ends in Murder. This guy, when he was young, he was in the army, and so he married this woman, and him and this woman, they got married, they had kids, they had their own kind of insurance company, and from what I understand from reading research, they was very active in the church. And so they met this other man and his wife. This other man was a pastor, okay? He was a pastor. And one day, this man I started talking to you about, he got killed. Someone killed him. I think shot and killed him, I think. And when they did some investigation and went deep into it, come to find out that this man's wife and that pastor, and that pastor, he was married himself, that this man's wife and that pastor was going together, and the pastor killed the man. Amen. Well, hallelujah. See, when we, my Lord, once again, go away from the word of the Lord. That's why, even as married folks, the word of the Lord is still supposed to be number one, okay? Now, I've gave this example to you guys before, and I'm going to give it again. Just like, for example, and I'm going to put an example as Christian. Now, when a Christian man marries a Christian woman, okay, and he's out there working, and he's being tempted to fool with another woman, the first reason he should say no is because my God said it's no. Now, many of y'all would say, wait a minute, what about his wife? That'll hurt his wife. That's true, that will hurt his wife. But his first reason, first and foremost reason should be because the Lord Jesus said it is wrong. Then second, I can see him saying it'll hurt my wife. You say, well, why do you put the Lord first? Because God's word, number one, God's word needs to be number one. Number two, if he just say and just rely on, okay, it'll hurt my wife, just leave it at that. What if his wife did something to him one day and he's all caught up in his anger and he goes, shoot, I'm being faithful to her, she ain't being faithful to me. You understand what I'm saying? And I hope y'all, many of y'all, when as you hear me say this, I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that he doesn't have to respect his wife's feelings and not hurt his wife, but the number one reason we should be walking in the straight and narrow should be according to of what God said, not so much as man. Now, once again, he loves his wife. I understand that, and you don't want to hurt her. That's true. Believe me, that's true. But if you put God first, his reason being number one first, that will help you fall in line with everything else. But when you put everything else, you know, for example, you got people that love people over God. You know, we read in Romans that those who turn said worship the creature more than the creator. The creature's the creation more than the creator, okay? You got people that love people more than they do God. And so when that be the case, of course they're going to put that person number one. I'm not going to do it because of her or because of him and leave it like that. God is not even involved or even mentioned. But this is something that the Lord helped me to see as far as maybe about a year or two ago, because he let me see that, okay, if his word's number one, the first thing reaching should be because of his word, okay? Amen. Because that goes for some of you Christian sisters, same thing with you. You know, if you're being tempted to be unfaithful, you know, to your husband, the first reason should be, I'm not going to be unfaithful to him. Why? Because God said it's wrong. Jesus said it's wrong, and I'm going to obey Jesus, okay? Now, if you just let it solely be because it'll hurt him, which it would, and nothing about the word of God, well, if he did something seriously to make you seriously angry, and you start sitting there thinking, why should I respect him? Didn't respect me? I mean, maybe he did something that was pretty bad. And you go, why should I respect him? And next thing you know, maybe he said something. And maybe you'll go, what I respect him for? And then you just going out there doing it. But see, if we will be more spirit conscious and conscious of the Lord, that will help us out in a lot of things. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It would. Thank you, Lord. And so when man goes away from the word of the Lord and shape his life by any abominable act or iniquity or whatever, that's what he becomes, okay? He becomes that. And that what has happened to some of the Lord's people. They have gone away from the word of the Lord and have become an abomination in the sight of God. Why? Because they have shaped their lives by that abominable acts. And you're seeing it more and more, people. You know, you're seeing it more and more with homosexuality. I mean, you got pastors coming in the pulpit telling people, say, they are openly gay, they live an openly gay life, and they're not going to change. And I'm pretty sure some of these pastors that are saying that have read in the Bible what God called that abomination. So I guess we're just going to disregard God, go away from the word of the Lord, and shape their life, because that's what they're doing. They're shaping their lives by it. When they let you know that they're living openly living gay, they have shaped their lives by living like that. That's why I see some of this stuff online titled Gay Christian 101. What? Gay Christian? You can't find scriptures in there that supports a gay Christian. You can't find no scripture on that. A gay Christian? I mean, once again, God called it abomination, and you think he's going to accept what is called a gay Christian? Please. Okay? I mean, really, let's think about it. What do we think of God? Do we think he's just dumb, or he just ain't got no stance? He all over the place? somebody is not good to follow because he'll lead you one way toward the water, but the next minute in a lake of fire. What is this? Okay? And the people have become murderers. Once again, this murder can also involve hatred. Amen. People just got, you know, have a strong hatred. Get away from the word of the Lord. Operate in hate. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. I thank God for his blessed word today. This is just part one. Lord, say the same. I'll be back with part two. Glory be to God. Thank God for the blessed word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word once again. We thank you for this opportunity you've given us and blessed us this day. Lord, we thank you for strengthening us as you have done, because you're worthy to be praised and be glorified. So, Lord, we lift you up and magnify you in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I pray that everyone that's listening will bless by this word tonight. And I pray as they seek your face that they will find it in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we will give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. Thank God for his word. Don't forget tomorrow night, Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. Look for the advertisement tomorrow night. So, thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.